Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. The future of TV is so bright, you gotta wear shades. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is March 9th, 2013. And that used to be a song a long time ago. Right, Naomi? Your future's so bright, you gotta wear shades.
Oh, that's what you were quoting from.
Yeah. Naomi's future's so bright, she has to wear shades.
Oh,
right?
That's exciting to think about. I appreciate that,
yeah,
Bill.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting couple of days. Very bright, full of promise. It's interesting to talk about this and hear from the experts because it's a trend that a lot of us are kind of familiar with because we sort of see it happening. TV is moving away from just, you know, the stations on your television, and it's becoming kind of more combined with the internet and cable and just all the offerings out there. It's interesting to hear from the people who are trying to make this happen, make it accessible to people.
Yeah. We've spent the first couple days hearing from three experts in their field. And, you know, when I looked at this article initially, you know, the first thing that came to mind is television. In some ways, traditional television is a sunset industry, we would say. In a way, it's fading. However, it's not necessarily fading television, but it's just it's morphing into something completely different. It's not like what I grew up with and what we grew up with, just coming home, sitting in the living room, grabbing the remote, turning on the TV. It's a whole different thing.
Definitely. It's changed so much. Even since, you know, the last 10 years or so, it's transformed completely.
And there have been a lot of lessons learned, which we talked about yesterday.
We did. And we spoke specifically to the director of product management at Google TV. And he had a bunch of tips for how to incorporate both online video and more traditional TV into one thing. And a couple of the lessons that they've learned there at Google TV, I thought were pretty practical for anyone.
Yeah.
The first one being simplify, simplify, keep things as simple as you can. Keep things user-friendly, basic, clear. Don't make people go through 18 steps when they could just go through two.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's really clever. The other one that I really liked was number four, get hardware feedback early. Basically, the concept behind this is if you're going to ask a third party to create something for you, let them know as early as you can so that you can keep working on it and make it as great as you possibly can before you start selling it.
Yeah. I would say that, you know, I look at iPhones. Apple really hit something there. They took an idea and they really made it simple and easy for people to use. That's why they became so popular.
Right. But you see some companies who say, oh, I think we should offer this item. And then they kind of send it out to a third party and say, why don't you produce that for us, you know, by next week? And then they're stuck with whatever they get because they've promised it to someone or they're on a deadline. You know, this idea of working with your team and with your just the different people that you're associated with, you know, as early as possible, include them in the process, work on it together, make those products as high in quality as you can. I think that's really wise.
Okay. Also joining us for day three is Simon Stops. Hi, Simon.
Hey, Bill. It's great to be back talking about one of my favorite subjects, television.
I know you enjoy watching television. One of the things you brought up yesterday was that actual viewership of television programs is up. To me, that seems counter to what my experience is. It seems to me when I talk with people, it's like they don't watch as much TV anymore. And I certainly don't. I don't watch as much TV as I used to. However, again, like I said, talking with Naomi, it's morphed. It's different. It's changed. It's not me sitting in front of the TV in the living room.
That's right. And I think it's important to remember that watching TV content is kind of different from watching TV these days. You'll remember back when we were all growing up that our families gathered in front of the television and you couldn't miss any of the television show or that was it. You never saw it again until a year later. when it came on as reruns. Mm-hmm. That's really not the case anymore. You know, you can sit down now with the internet and watch the last three seasons of a television show without stopping.
You know, that just reminded me of how I used to watch shows only occasionally because I'd be really busy on that day or whatever. And I remember how I'd see one show and I'd be really excited to see another. And then the next time I'd catch it just on that time slot, it would be a rerun. And it would be the one I'd already seen. And I'd be so disappointed. But today that never happens because you're always able to just choose, oh, I want to view this content.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about specific niches.
Well, that's right. The TV industry, it's morphing in lots of different ways. One of the ways we mentioned yesterday was that in many places, the number of stations available for people to watch is increasing very rapidly. We mentioned India, where we said there used to be two channels, and now there are more than 600. But more than just that, those 600 channels are very, very specialized these days. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you get different networks like Deja Vu, which, of course, shows old television series 24 hours a day. If you want to watch home improvement shows for 24 hours, you can choose that channel and watch home improvement shows.
Okay. I could probably turn on the curry channel and learn how to make curry dishes all day.
I have no doubt.
So many choices.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is interesting. We have talked about having internet-based programs viewable on your television. We've talked about television programs being viewable on any internet-connected device. We learned all the lessons that Google TV has gone through in the past several years. And now today, on page 18, we hear from two other executives, and they're talking about the future of television, a big picture view of television. So let's have our first reading there on page 18, the left column.
Closing arguments. Where does TV go from here? Mike Pruhl, Senior VP and Director of Digital Strategy, Hill Holliday, the new media advocate. Simply put, television can no longer be categorized as traditional media, but instead must be approached as new media. The real threat to cable companies comes if the masses can easily access the same content at the same time, in the same or better ways, at a materially lower price point. People will flock to where the content is, period. After all, our loyalty lies with the content itself, individual TV shows, not necessarily TV networks or TV providers. That takes us back to the monthly, tiered subscription model. I feel a bit of deja vu from the days when we were forced to buy entire music albums if we wanted merely a couple of songs. Smart TV technology and mass accessibility will only continue to improve, which heightens the need for television providers to innovate and deliver value.
Closing arguments. Where does TV go from here? Closing arguments?
Yeah, it's an interesting literary device that our author is using here. Pretty fascinating. Basically, we've heard from all these different voices, and it's almost like witnesses in a courtroom. And like they're all giving their testimonies. Well, this is what happened. This is what we're doing. This is what's going on. And now we have these closing arguments. It's almost like the two gentlemen we hear from today are the lawyers presenting their case about the future of TV.
Okay, and who do we hear from first, Simon?
Well, we're hearing from Mike Pruhl, which I gather is a French family name. He's the Senior Vice President and Director of Digital Strategy for an organization called Hill Holliday.
Okay, and in our first couple of days, we had actually labeled the people we talked to. We had called Avner Ronan the reformed cord cutter. Anand Subramanian, we called him the visionary. Yesterday, Rishi Chandra was called, and his team at Google TV, they were called the adapters. What do we call Mike Prue?
He is the new media advocate. And advocate, we actually heard that as a verb on our first day, and here it's a noun. So, of course, here it's kind of like a lawyer. It's someone who's speaking for a certain party. They're kind of defending it or pushing it forward. And new media is basically just this idea that we're moving away from traditional formats like radio and TV and more toward this kind of online streaming.
Yeah.
Just that comment is very interesting because usually when we think of traditional media, we think of things like radio and print and television, right? But what they're saying here is that TV really doesn't fit in that group very well anymore.
Okay. What does he say there, Simon?
Well, he says, simply put, television can no longer be categorized as traditional media, which basically means TV has been undergoing so many changes that it doesn't really fit with those other medias anymore.
It has outgrown the category or the label. It's sort of moved beyond. It's changed with the times.
Okay.
He continues by saying, instead, it must be approached as new media. And that term new media is a very interesting one because it really talks about media in the digital or internet age.
Right. And this changes all sorts of things. One thing I'm thinking of is the content. You need to think in a new way of, okay, how do we put together content? How long is the content? And, you know, how do we structure this? Because it doesn't mean people are sitting on their couch anymore and watching 3 hours of TV. That has all changed in many ways.
Right. And so Mr. Prue explains in the next sentence what the real threat is. And it's a little bit long, so maybe even take your highlighters and highlight this because it's interesting to read through it. He says the real threat to cable companies comes if, and here's the if, the masses, that's people in general, can do something, easily access the same content at the same time in the same or better ways at a materially lower price point. Okay, so there's, what, four things there.
First, if you can watch the TV at the same time.
At the same time as you would watch the traditional way of watching.
Okay, and same time in the same or better ways, right?
Yeah, meaning maybe you can watch it in a more convenient way, such as on your iPad.
Or being able to view it in HD.
Okay, and at materially lower prices.
It has to be cheaper. But then again, we come back to the first point, which is it has to be the same content still. So
he's
saying you can't just create new, cheaper content. It has to be the same good quality content. They have to have all the things they love, but it has to be more convenient and cheaper.
Okay. Why can't it be more expensive?
Well, it can't be more expensive because it's a free market. People want to see good content, but they don't want to spend, you know, all of their income on the content.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think in some ways it's almost like technology. We see the price of technology usually comes lower as time goes on.
Right.
We see it with laptops and phones. So TV in some ways could be viewed the same way. It would become lower. Now, he continues by saying people will do what?
They will flock to where the content is. Period. So that period just is sort of emphasizing that's it. That's the fact. And I love this image because you can imagine like a big flock of birds all coming and landing where they see the food. And that's sort of like people with this content. They see where the shows are and everyone comes. They all gather. They'll be there.
Okay.
And he makes a very interesting point in the next sentence. He says, after all, our loyalty lies with the content itself. Individual TV shows, not necessarily TV networks or TV providers. And that's absolutely true, right? You want to watch a specific television show. You don't necessarily care if you're watching it on your television, on your phone, on your computer.
Right, which is why I think something like that channel, that Deja Vu channel that you were talking about earlier, Simon, is so interesting. Actually, they're very, very old shows. People still want to watch those old shows. They don't want to watch them on old TVs.
Right.
You know, they're not like, oh, I miss my black and white screen. No, of course not. But they want that content.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, for instance, CSI is very popular, but people tune in to watch CSI. They don't necessarily tune in to watch the network that CSI is on, because once CSI is done, they're going to change the channel and move on to a different network and watch another show that they like. So Mike Prue continues in line 10.
Well, he says that takes us back to the monthly tiered subscription model. And that term tiered is very interesting. It means different levels or different tiers, they're called. So you think, for example, when you have a cable package, you can buy the basic package, which includes maybe a certain number of channels for a certain price. You'd call that the basic tier. But if you want more channels, you can pay more money for a higher level of subscription, which gives you more content.
Right. And that's happening more and more now, again, because in a lot of places in the world, you might get your cable, your internet, your landline, your cell phone, all from the same provider. And so they would offer different options. Well, do you want this much data every month? Do you want that much? You know, and so it is, again, that tiered model.
In some ways, Mike Prue says he's kind of seen this before, right?
Yes, he has that feeling of deja vu. Now, this is actually something that happens in your brain where an experience hits your memory before it hits where it usually is supposed to, where you sort of feel like, oh, did I dream this? Did this happen before? Deja
vu. This looks familiar.
Yeah, literally in French, it just means already seen.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's that feeling that, oh, I've seen this before. And he feels that when it comes to this subscription model. And just from the way that content is being provided and paid for.
Yeah. And he talks about something. I got a real chuckle out of this one. Days when we were forced to buy entire music albums if we wanted merely a couple songs. I did that. I have like a closet full of record albums all because I wanted one or two songs and I had to buy the album.
Right.
That's right. And what he's really saying here in terms of TV is if you want to watch a specific network, you have to buy the package of channels that come with it,
right,
whether or not you want the other things. And that's been a thing that has annoyed people for a long time,
mm-hmm.
right? If you want to watch, let's say, HBO, for example, you need to get a whole bunch of cooking channels and TV shopping channels with it. Mm-hmm. So you're paying for things you don't want.
Right.
Okay. Now, what does this mean for networks and content providers, Naomi?
Well, smart TV technology and mass accessibility will only continue to improve. So in other words, the kind of technology we've been talking about over the last couple of days, that's going to keep going in the direction we've been seeing. And of course, mass accessibility means that everyone is able to get to that content. It's not just for rich people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's kind of like what Simon was talking about, all those TV channels in India. So
mm-hmm.
they've got a mass market, but they can't price it out of the range of all of these people. It serves no purpose then.
That's right. It's also what Naomi was mentioning. Naomi and I, of course, are both from Canada. And in Canada, often you find your cable television provider is also your phone company, mm-hmm. your internet provider providing your cellular service. And so those kinds of changes are not just in terms of specific television channels, but in terms of the way they're controlling the delivery of that TV content.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What that means is that the television providers need to innovate and deliver value even more because it is really competitive. Things continue to improve. They just have to, as he says here, innovate and deliver value.
Very well. Let's have our final reading of this article.
Rob Marcus, President and COO, Time Warner Cable. The Cable Honcho. I think there's a tendency to overestimate the moment you're living in, but it does seem like the pace of change in everything is faster than it used to be, and TV is part of that. Until recently, we were working largely with proprietary technology. It was a relatively self-contained ecosystem. But increasingly, we're taking advantage of IP-based technologies. We'll have a programming guide hosted in the cloud next year. That will allow us a lot more flexibility to change the look and functionality. It'll be written in HTML5. We want to work with game consoles, Android. We'll clearly be on smart TVs. We are open to trying anything. Individual TV viewing is something like 150 hours a month. If you divide a typical cable bill by the number of hours they're watching, it's still a pretty good value compared with other forms of entertainment.
Bill Quinn here with Naomi Beeshavel and Simon Stops. We're on our final section of The Future of TV, page 18. And this section introduces us to Rob Marcus. Who's Rob Marcus?
Rob Marcus is the president and COO of Time Warner Cable. That term COO is an interesting one. Usually we think of CEOs, mm-hmm. which means chief executive officer. This means chief operating officer. And really that denotes the person who's in charge of the day-to-day operations of a company.
Yeah. Okay. He's in a dual role as a president and COO at Time Warner, massive media company. And we've given everybody a label, and we give him kind of an interesting label here.
Yeah, it's a little bit, it kind of sounds like slang to me. He's the cable honcho. He's
yeah.
the person in charge. We often hear the term head honcho being like the big boss.
Okay. Well, he has some interesting, almost philosophical statements here, right, Naomi?
He does, and I really think they're interesting to consider, especially his first sentence. I think there's a tendency, or sort of a pattern maybe, to overestimate the moment you're living in.
What's he mean by that?
Well, if you overestimate something, you put its value higher than it really is.
Yeah.
You think it's more important than it really is. So he's basically saying everyone thinks that the moment they're living in is the most important time. They think they're the center of the universe.
Yeah. Well, of course. I think, you know, when I was in college or something, that music was the best ever and the most important, and the TV programs and the movies. It was all the most important. We all think that. So now, after that sentence, Rob Marcus continues.
Well, he does say, but it does seem like the pace of change in everything is faster than it used to be. And TV is a part of that. And so he's saying, you know, times are changing and TV needs to change along with them.
I would agree with that. It does seem to me like the pace of change is going faster.
But honestly, for most of this article, we've been talking about how TV actually is already changing fairly quickly.
Yeah.
We talked about in the left column there how TV is no longer really categorized as a traditional media because it has changed so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he continues by saying, until recently,
well, we were working largely with proprietary technology. Now, we've taught that before, the idea that it's owned or controlled by a certain company. We talk about proprietary phone chargers, for instance, being the kind of charger that will only work with one kind of phone. We talk about proprietary software being software that can only work with one type of operating system. So here we're talking about how in the past, TV often said, well, you have to buy our cable box to go with our TV, to go with our network, and one person could control this or that. And so he calls it a relatively self-contained ecosystem.
Yeah. And that's interesting. He uses this term ecosystem. He's referring to that, you know, the thing that was in place to where one company, one network would control everything. It was their own. Just imagine almost like being in a bubble. Their industry was in a bubble that they contained. But now they have to work with many other parties.
That's right. Normally when we use that word ecosystem, we're talking about living things and the way they're interacting. So in this case, instead of living things, he's talking about the maker of the cable TV box, the maker of the television, the cable provider, and how they rely on each other and interact with each other.
But increasingly, they're taking advantage of IP-based technologies.
So again, that comes back to that idea of open source, that more than one person is involved in the development and so on. So people are – they're kind of working together more.
Now, in the second half of this paragraph, starting there in line 13 down to line 20, he just gives some examples of just some shifts into different technologies.
That's right. Naomi was mentioning that they're trying to work together with different people and platforms, and that's basically what we go through here. They're talking about working with things online, working with video game sort of solutions, Android for smartphones, and of course, smart TVs.
Okay. All right. And then we move into individual TV viewing. Right now, something about 150 hours a month.
That's what he says. And he says if you divide a typical cable bill by the number of hours they're watching, it's actually still pretty good value compared with other forms of entertainment. So he seems to think that actually there's still potential for cable as long as it continues to move with the times.
Okay. Well, before we wrap up today, we do have a feature.
Rock, I'm glad you could find time in your busy schedule to meet with me.
Well, Veronica, you are the head honcho of Hot TV. Rock Diamond certainly has time for you.
Rock, this whole shift to mobile devices is a big disruptor to network television as we know it.
I know. I'm constantly being disrupted myself by smartphones making noise.
yes. As the CEO of Hot TV, I need to be a visionary and do things that keep us competitive. So we're going to make some changes to your show, Super Soldier.
Sure. I trust your judgment, Veronica. Why don't you give me a sneak peek at your roadmap?
We no longer will produce Super Soldier for network broadcast. From now on, we'll shoot the show strictly for viewing on mobile devices, employing HTML.
What does that mean for me? You know, I am Rock Diamond, the star of Super Soldier.
Yes, you are the star. We've tiered all of our proprietary shows by importance, and as a result, the budget for your show has been reduced from $1 million per episode to $10,000 per episode.
Surely you're joking.
I never joke, Rock. Look, I think you're great, but we have to be realistic.
What about the explosions, the helicopter chase scenes, the exotic locations around the world?
That will all be done by computer graphics. The entire show will be shot using this digital camera. And everything will be done in the parking lot behind the office building.
You're killing me. Veronica, it's like deja vu when I first started in TV, selling jewelry on the shopping channel. Just a cheap, low-quality TV production. Computer graphics? A digital camera?
Just be glad you have a job, Rock.
You're right. I need to embrace this learning curve and make the best of it.
That's the spirit. That's the Rock Diamond I admire and respect.
I'm a big Rock Diamond fan.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. I love Super Soldier.
Oh, boy.
Well, listeners, thanks for joining us for The Future of TV. This is a great three-day article and gives us some insight into what is coming down the road as far as viewing television on all your different devices and what's going to be available. I want to thank Naomi and Simon for being here. Thanks, panelists.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Great to have you. And listeners, great to have you join us. Come on back next time. We'll see you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.